Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually in putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.
Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Hey guys, good morning.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Today we have a guest joining us. Please help me welcome Anthony Winston. Anthony is a professional engineer and has his own company, Winston Engineering. And for the sake of time, Anthony, I'll throw it to you and let you talk a little bit about Winston Engineering, what you guys do.
So Winston Engineering was started a little over 5 years ago. Actually, I started it while commuting on the train to downtown LA. So instead of sitting on my phone, I Googled how do you start a business and started the company. And I was doing two jobs at once. And eventually I started making enough where I could walk away. And what we do now is we provide HVAC, electrical, and plumbing engineering construction permit plans for residential and commercial buildings. When I first started out, it was just electrical because I'm a licensed electrical engineer. But then I started hiring the right folks. And now we provide what they call full MEP packages.
Good for you. I love hearing that. Instead of just wasting time on the train, figuring stuff out, man, that's awesome.
Thank you.
We have kind of a mix of listeners and we try to give people that aren't in the industry a little bit of an understanding of what the different parts of our industry are. Okay. So can you give a quick snapshot of what mechanical, electrical, and plumbing engineers do?
Yeah. So starting with mechanical, that's your HVAC system. So heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. Essentially, someone like you, and an awesome architect, will give us a floor plan. And based on the room sizes, based on how many windows you have, how hot it gets, how cold it gets, they can run calculations to determine how much heating and air conditioning you need for that space and how forceful the air needs to be and how many times the air needs to circulate. In terms of electrical, we take a look at your floor plan, see what equipment you have, lighting, how many outlets, things like that. And we provide a map to provide power to those appliances and ensure that, you know, we're not overloading your circuit so that everything is safe. We can also get very, really complicated with solar systems, battery backups, generators, all three put together, right? So if you want to go off grid. And then in terms of the plumbing, it's a similar type of thing as electrical, right? You have a load, which is your sink or your toilet. And then you have your source, which is the utility. So we determine where these items are and provide water to them and also drainage. And then once we create that package, we then give it to the client, they submit it to the city, and if everything goes according to plan, there are no comments, then the contractor can then pull the permit. There you go. They pull a permit and then they actually go and build it.
Yeah.
For context too, MEPs is like a huge checkpoint along the construction process. That's one of the main things that they look at when they're moving down, you know, the schedule and those types of things, when they can get MEP sign off so that they can start the rest of the house. So it's a really, really critical path item in the overall build schedule.
I recently wrote an article about kind of looking back at my 5 years in business. It was kind of a blog that I just threw out, just some thoughts. And I equate MEP engineers as the field goal kicker, right? the quarterback can be, you know, throwing interceptions, people dropping balls, and then it doesn't matter. If the field goal kicker misses the kick, it's your fault.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
That's very funny. By the way, the check's in the mail for that. That I'm a great architect.
Yeah, that should be a big sum too.
Jason, just as some background, Anthony and I actually just worked together on a project that we just got into the city. So that's actually under review. So worked on a cupcake shop in LA. So Anthony and his team stepped in to run the MEP on that whole thing. So turned out great. Just waiting for it to get reviewed now. So
whatever we got to do to get you guys to build some more cupcake shops, I'm down for. Like, I'm good with it.
It's funny, I had never heard of that cupcake shop. Am I allowed to say the name?
Probably not yet.
Okay, well, it's fairly famous, but I'm kicking myself because I now want to go to the cupcake shop, but I can't go. So
that's awesome.
So I started that project prior to the COVID outbreak, so I got a chance to sample some of the cupcakes and brought a bunch home. I brought like a box home to my wife. So when we were trying to get back out there, but didn't work out. But
yeah.
So Anthony, what else have you been up to? What are you working on right now?
We got quite a bit going on. And when COVID hit in, you know, in March and we got shut, you know, the state was kind of in quarantine. We took a dip and I started getting a little nervous. But then all of a sudden at the end of March, it took off and we started doing, people were more concerned about their office spaces in terms of the COVID spreading. So we had clients recommending certain things that they wanted, such as UV lights and, you know, whole house fans and really highly rated vents or filtration vents. So we've been doing quite a bit of those. We've been doing quite a bit of indoor agriculture. We've been working on a large project in Paris. It's actually, I want to say, 400,000 acres.
Wow.
This particular company provides the plants that you see in Home Depot and Lowe's. Hmm. And you 9 times out of 10, if it's on the West Coast, it's from that place in Paris, California. So we basically had to re-permit or actually get permits for, I mean, hundreds of greenhouses. So that's been an ongoing project. So that's been kind of, we've been really lucky to have that project.
Yeah,
man, I was thinking Paris, France. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was here in Paris. I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
No, it's funny. I just told my wife when I came from Chicago and visited Moreno Valley years ago when I was a kid, someone was like, yeah, I just came back from Paris. And I was like, man, you guys got money.
It's awesome.
So that's for those that are not in California, that's a local city here in California.
Paris. Considered part of the Inland Empire.
Yeah. Perris.
Yeah.
Lake Paris is a recreational place too.
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. With the filter upgrades that you were talking about, Anthony, mm-hmm. You're referring to like the HEPA filters?
Yeah, so either HEPA or like the MERV 13 rated filters.
What's the difference between those two?
HEPA
HEPA is like the hospital grade, right?
Correct. Almost nothing can get through it. And I think it's one maybe like 99%, 99.9% of stuff can't get through. The other maybe 98. Don't quote me on that.
It's just a little bit marginally less for the MERV 13.
Exactly.
Okay.
So yeah, it's going to be an interesting task to see how design goes with COVID-19.
Are you hearing any early conversations? Because we had a brief conversation about COVID and kind of wondering if there were going to be any code changes. I don't think that there's necessarily going to be a code change. But then I started thinking about it again. And on the mechanical side, now that people are starting to talk more about air exchange and the transfer of air with this respiratory disease, maybe there might be something that comes down the pipeline. Are you hearing anything right now?
I'm not hearing anything. I would be on the fence about that, because at some point, maybe they'll have a vaccine, but then what if this happens again, right?
Yeah.
Every few years, something comes out.
Take it back.
I mean, on one hand, you want to be protective of people, but then you got to do a lot more research to prove that out. Like, I posted something on Facebook mentioning the project that I told you about with the UV lights and everything. Mm-hmm. And people were like upset, like, it's a hoax. You're just trying to steal people's money. I'm like, I didn't come up with this. I'm telling you about a method that a client told me about. And it was nasty. I don't see how people do it. Stay on social media like that. It's paid ads. So it's thousands and thousands of people who see it. But I couldn't imagine being on that level organically and just have comments. I'm like, geez, leave me alone.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
That's funny. On the electrical side, you talked about the battery backup. Mm-hmm. So what do you have going on with that? Is that sort of picking up quite a bit of steam with the recent code changes? People are trying to shift to the battery backup?
No, it really doesn't have anything to do with code revisions. So I live in an area in Marietta. It's kind of up in the hills. And if something happens, like we've had wildfires, if your power goes out, there's nothing you can do about it, right? So I personally I had solar first, and then I added battery backup to it. So if our power goes out, I'm good to go, unless it's sustained, cloudy days, then it'd be nice to have a generator. But I'm noticing it more on kind of the higher end homes that are doing it, but not every day. Not just track homes, which is unfortunate, because you can get it fairly inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And if power goes out, especially here in Southern California with our wildfires, it will be very beneficial to have something to turn on. Because even if the wind kicks up a lot, it may not even be a fire, but if the wind kicks up, the power company will just shut your power off. I forget what the program is called, but
yeah.
Now, can I ask, why did you decide to go battery backup versus a generator? Because it's something we've looked at too, and we have solar, but you can't necessarily add it on. You got to start another system or something, or something goofy about it. But I've always looked at generators, as a pretty equal situation too.
So generators, it's tough because with the battery backup system, we can program it to where at nighttime we run off the batteries and not the utility. So you're almost off the grid, right? In the daytime, you are running off the solar. With the generator, you'd be spending money on fuel or whatever, whether that's diesel or propane, right, whatever the case may be. So that's why we didn't do it. I would only add a generator to our system in case we have sustained cloudy days. Otherwise, we can just keep running.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So that battery is connected to a solar panel, right?
Correct. So the solar system and the battery system are all fed into your inverter. And then an inverter gives you your AC power, right? So the solar panels and the batteries provide you with DC, which is direct current, to your inverters. And the inverter inverts it to AC, which is the sine wave that your house needs.
Gotcha. Wow. On the plumbing side, I know for the project that we recently worked on, I ended up specifying all, Sensomatic, the sensor fixtures for pretty much everything. Were you seeing sort of an uptick with COVID, an uptick on specifying those type of sensor fixtures?
Yes. We just wrapped up a teen center in, I want to say it's Compton. And they were really adamant about making sure that they had the touchless sensors. I definitely see that taking off. I'm like, should I invest in a company that does that? Because you're probably going to see much more automated doors, you know, touchless bathroom doors, touchless, you know, sinks and back, you know, hand drying systems.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I think we should just all get together and make bubbles, plastic bubbles that have HEPA filters on them and whatever, you know, for what's going on, because ultimately it feels like that's where we're going anyway. I mean, come on. Did you guys see the desks and stuff they're going to put kids in? I mean, frick. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah, my kids are staying home. We're not dealing with that. I mean, no, you know, I'm not trying to down, you know, anybody who has kids, and if you want to send them to school, that's cool, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
bubbles, human bubbles. Didn't we talk about one time construction site bubbles? Didn't we talk about that one time? Like, we were talking about, was it you? I was talking about the idea, because of everything that's going on with SWIPs and everything else that they have out there. I'm like, this like little home building bubble.
What's this? So like, what'd you say? SWIP?
SWIPs. SWIPs.
What's that?
Stormwater prevention, pollution, something or other.
Oh, okay.
It's huge. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That way, you know, with everything, you could catch all the fallout, all the dust, all that kind of stuff. We just build these massive, like, plastic air filter bubbles
for
people to build into. I mean, like, that's where it feels like everything's pushing towards anyways, right?
That's funny.
Because those SWIPs fines are massive. Like, if you get hit, like, they're big. So, anyway.
So I'm sure, especially in California. I don't know if it's in other.
I think it's primarily California. Yeah, the wonderful state that we live in.
Everybody, I get so many complaints about California. Like, somebody will come from out of state, we'll do a design form, and you know, we got Title 24. So I'm specifying all these daylight sensors and occupancy sensors, and they're like, I didn't have this in my budget. What are you doing? I'm like, it's not my fault. Like, it's California.
You want to build here?
Yeah, it pushes their budget way up.
Yeah.
And then you got CEQA, and it gets crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty bananas.
And you talked a little bit about the project types that you're working on. Can you kind of talk about that range that you're working on? I don't think you went far into all the stuff that you kind of work
on. Yes. So we do residential and commercial. So on the residential side, ADUs are starting to pop up a lot. We've finished like 3 of them in the past month. And usually we hardly ever see them. And for anybody who doesn't know, that's an accessory dwelling unit, basically like a in-law suite built onto your house or, you know, in the backyard or whatever the case may be. But we'll do small ADUs, and we've done all the way up to 20,000 square foot custom homes. On the commercial side, we've done tons of Starbucks, right? Super small space, all the way up to an 80,000 square foot kombucha manufacturing facility. We do quite a bit of office space, medical space, done a lot of dental offices, we've done a couple pet hospitals recently, which is kind of random. cupcake shops, we'll pretty much do anything except the big stuff. Like, we won't do hospitals, we just don't have the manpower, or anything like stadiums. I refuse to work on anything that deals with prisons. I don't care how small it is.
Yeah.
But that's just a personal thing for me. But yeah, there's not much we'll turn down.
Yeah. You mentioned the ADUs. Most housing projects forego getting MEP, or smaller projects forego getting MEP. Is there a reason you think that people are having you do ADU? Is it because of the small footprint and they want to make sure they get it right? Or,
well, it's the city that's dictating it, right? Because if you have an ADU, you're tapping into the existing electrical system, you're tapping into the existing plumbing system, so you have to make sure that the house, the main house, still has capacity to give you what you need in an ADU.
Got it. Okay, cool. I may be calling you soon. Okay.
Paying back for that plug.
Yeah. Yep. So we're coming to the end. Any last minute comments you want to make about what you do, or anything you want to leave a listener with about MEP?
Yeah. If there's, you know, the great thing about MEP is that it's always needed. It for the most part, it can be outsourced, although sometimes it gets outsourced to India a lot. But I encourage anybody who's interested in a career path, you know, if you want to go into construction, look on the engineering side of things. I think the longevity is there. It's not going anywhere. We're constantly building. We're constantly renovating, rebuilding. So it's an amazing industry. And then also, you know, follow me on social media. Just look up Winston Engineering on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat. Doesn't really matter. I'm all over the place. So I try to stay in front of people and just kind of make engineering seem interesting, because to the average person, it's very boring. So that's something I struggle with.
Thank you so much, Anthony. Really good, informative conversation squeezed into this very short amount of time. And for our listeners, we will see you on Tuesday. Thanks. This show is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. You can help support what we're doing here by leaving a 5-star rating and a review on your preferred podcasting app. It helps others find us, and your support is the only way that this show grows. And don't forget to connect with us through our Facebook community, Instagram, and see the random thoughts and articles that we share on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Talk soon. Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate and expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more at ncarb.org.